This is Cincinnati Edition. I'm Jay Hanselman with Howard Wilkinson. Construction crews are busy building the first phase of the Cincinnati streetcar project. Lots of new track is already in place on Elm and Race Streets and over the Rhine. Crews are building the maintenance and operations facility at the corner of Race and Henry Streets, and utility work continues along parts of the route. Today we'll get an update on the streetcar's progress with project manager John Dietrich. You can join our conversation. The number is 513-419-7100 or email talk at wvxu.org. We're also on Facebook and Twitter. Coming up a little later this hour, we'll be talking about the future of the Cincinnati Northern Kentucky International Airport with its CEO and the likely new chairman of the Kenton County Airport Board. Sort of a transportation theme show today on Cincinnati Edition. Again, 513-419-7100 if you want to join the conversation. Mr. Dietrich, welcome.
Thank you very much.
Before we talk about the streetcar project, I want to talk a little bit about your history with Cincinnati. You retired from the city early 2000s.
2002.
As the director of transportation and engineering. And during that time, you helped oversee the reconstruction of Fort Washington Way.
Right.
Which was a big project.
Lots of good help, fortunately. It was.
And after you retired in 2002, you took a similar position in Washington, D.C., and then came back to Cincinnati to sort of oversee the Banks project a few years ago, and then now transitioned to project manager for the streetcar project. You were obviously in town when this streetcar project started, or the talk about it started. What drew you to want to oversee its construction?
Good question. It's just a major challenge. The Banks project and even Fort Washington Way, after we had been around and talked to enough people, that had a lot of public support. Streetcar, not so much. And I thought there actually was a great team in place, and I was very excited to join it.
Now, did you seek out the job, or were you sought out to be the project manager?
Well, the former city manager did ostensibly to talk about how the Banks project was doing, but it moved quickly over to streetcar.
So you took the job, and here you are now managing construction of Phase 1. So lots of things happening. Probably the most obvious thing that people are seeing now is the track work. Part of the track is now finished in part of Over the Rhine, working on the other part. So, and concrete actually being poured today.
Oh, absolutely. If you go down Race Street, just south of Liberty, a lot of action right now.
How much track is done?
About 20%, maybe a little higher than that.
And I think the what you call the straight portion of the track is all complete on Elm Street, is that correct?
That's correct. Today we got great news when our curve pieces of track are going to arrive. They're going to come in April, and that'll let us connect up with Henry Street. The switches will start to show up in a couple months after that, and the diamond.
The diamond is something
that happens at the intersection of Race and 12th. And it's so the Over the Rhine loop and the downtown loop can run independently. So it's sort of a crisscross of tracks that lets the cars either go downtown or just run in Over the Rhine.
And the curve track arriving. I'm assuming it's already it's bent before it gets here so that it just has to be installed?
That's really the issue. Cincinnati's streets are fairly narrow, which means it's our corners have to be a fairly tight radius curve, and they're all special.
Now, with I think the plan was that the portion of the track in the Over the Rhine area will actually be completed or nearly completed first before you begin work on the downtown central business section of the track?
That's right. People accused us of trying to pick a street without a whole lot going on to start with. But actually, we started in front of Music Hall and worked our way up. But there has been quite a bit of refinement in what we're doing as we've gone along. And we should be really hitting our stride when we get into the CBD.
When you get into the CBD, that's when you start hitting some of the real traffic problems and those kind of issues that you're going to have to deal with. Are you planning for that?
Yeah, shall I say we've explored that already with the utility relocation work. Mm-hmm. If you've gone down Walnut Street any time in the last couple months,
right.
You've seen water main, gas main, electrical conduit, and starting next week, you'll see chilled water relocation going on Walnut. So quite a bit.
Before we get too far into it, let's take the route. So let's start at the banks. I believe it starts on 2nd Street. Where does it go from the banks on 2nd Street?
Right. Well, it starts, like you said, on 2nd, right in front of Toby Keith. There'll be a stop there. And it turns up Main Street, north on Main, carries on past Atrium Building, past the Federal Reserve, past what used to be the post office, now the U.S. Courthouse, and carries on up to 12th Street, past the county buildings. And at 12th, it turns left, goes down 12th, crosses over that point that I talked about.
The diamond.
As it goes through the Gateway Quarter, and goes to Elm, turns right on Elm by the School for Creative and Performing Arts, and that's where little kids all came out and sang, "I've been working on the railroad for the workers," the first couple weeks of the track laying. Not a dry eye in the crowd. And carries on up Elm past Music Hall, Washington Park, Memorial Hall, crosses over Liberty, past Findlay Market, till it gets up to a little street called Henry, which is just one block north of Findlay Street, turns right on Henry, and goes by the old Christian Moorline Brewery building, which is now where Rheingeist is brewing beer again. When it gets to Race and Henry, that's actually where our maintenance and operating facility is, and that's another place concrete was going down today. And turns right on Race and carries on down Race, crosses over 12th and down to Central Parkway. So it heads east on Central Parkway to get to Walnut. When it gets to Walnut, it turns right and it's forming sort of a figure eight. Heads down Walnut, goes by Catholic Diocese, Aronoff Center, Contemporary Arts Center, 21C Hotel, all the way back down to 2nd Street. And you return to Toby Keith. If you do that on a streetcar, it'll take about 21 minutes each way, but the streetcar will pause for about 9 minutes. If everything's going well at the maintenance and operating facility. If it took longer than 21 minutes to get up there, then they just turn around and, head back down.
Now, you talk about this diamond where you can separate the Central Business District loop from the Over the Rhine loop. Is that anticipated? It's there if you want to do it. Do you intend to do it?
It probably will be done in certain situations. All of those are going to be developed as operation starts. For example, for a ball game, you may just want to run that circulator. One train is a circulator just going around that CBD loop, just to distribute people to the parking garages. The Over the Rhine loop, if there's a festival,
One thing that just struck me was if you're coming down Ray Street past Findlay Market, how does that impact, say, the Findlay Market parade on opening day?
Well, today they're going to use a slightly different, or not today, at the end of the month, they'll use a slightly different route in Over the Rhine, but they're essentially, we're shutting construction down. When streetcar operation actually starts, good question. We're still working through that.
Mm-hmm.
There's a special events policy that's in place now, where for most events, the police have been guiding the events away from the streetcar route so that the streetcar is there to provide transportation. Some events may still remain where they are or be modified, though. Findlay Market Parade's probably one of those that's going to stay right where it is, and the streetcar will just shut down for those couple hours.
Mm-hmm. And the first phase, I think a total is 3.6 miles when it's finished?
Correct.
And we described the route on air. If you want to see an image of it, you'll find a link to that on our website, WVXU.org. You mentioned the maintenance and operation facility is under construction, Race and Henry Streets, and it is scheduled to be done sometime between March and June of 2015?
Correct.
And that's good because that same time frame is when the first streetcar is supposed to arrive.
Yes, you've done your research.
I've been to enough of your presentations. Yeah. But I guess if someone's thinking, all right, you know, the target date to be given passenger fare service is September 2016, but if the first car is going to be here essentially, what, a year and a half before that, why are they getting here so soon?
We really want to shake the whole thing down and make sure it's perfect when you go to what's called revenue service, when you actually have people paying to ride it. It's been a long time since there's been streetcars in Cincinnati. We need to get the people who are actually going to run them, operate them, fix them, clean them, get all of that in place, make sure all of our operational manuals are working properly. Getting through the safety and security certification by FTA is no small matter. You know, we want that to go very well. And I think as I described in the council committee the other day, there are a whole series of things that have to kind of intersect to make the schedule work. And getting the utilities done so the track work can be done and the maintenance and operating facility in place and the cars arriving kind of simultaneously for that over the Rhine loop test area is really critical.
And when the cars start arriving, it's not like you're going to park them in the maintenance and operation. They'll actually be out, at least as I understand it, on that over the Rhine loop being for training and for testing.
Correct.
And there are how many cars?
There are going to be five altogether.
And will they all five be running at the same time? Or somebody asked, you know, is it possible that you could have one car set aside for like a special event or a private function or something like that?
Right. They think during most of the day, it may only take three of the cars to make that 10-minute, they call it headway or interval between when the streetcar gets to a stop and the next one shows up. There's essentially one that's going to be held back as maintenance spare. So if you have a breakdown, you got to tow it back to the shop. You get another streetcar out there right away. And one for special events. It might turn out we need to run four to be able to maintain the 10-minute headway, but we'll have to see how that goes.
And how many people can you get on one car?
Depends on how close you want to stand together. But there are about 45 seats in it, including eight of those are fold down where a wheelchair can pull if you're in a wheelchair. But you can actually, if you really pack it, get over 250 people in one streetcar.
So you have the old strap hangers or things like that?
Yeah, I just saw, that's a good point, Howard. I just saw the submittal go through for the strap hanger, you know, what it's going to look like and
how it works. How will the streetcars interact with traffic? I'm assuming that they'll follow all the traffic signals and move with the flow of traffic?
Yeah, they have brake lights, turn signals, headlights, of course, so they move with everyone else. We don't have any signal priority built into this. There's a couple places where the streetcar has to turn left across traffic. At that point, the streetcar will get the nod at the signal, as it moves through, and then the traffic will go. But in most cases, it'll be just like a bus out there on the street, except it has to follow the rails.
And it, if I'm remembering right, from like on Elm Street, most of the rail is on the would be in the right-hand lane of the street.
Right. On Race Street, it swaps sides around Findlay Market because of a couple design considerations. It stays pretty much in that left lane all the way down Race Street. On Main Street, it swaps between 4th and 5th.
We're talking about the Cincinnati Streetcar Project with Project Manager John Dietrich. If you have a question, 513-419-7100 or email talk at wvxu.org. Again, 513-419-7100. Does the streetcar take out any street parking?
There's probably about 50 street parking spaces we'll lose, and that also includes where we move loading zones, and then some of the meters have to go away.
Where will those be? Generally downtown or in?
Just in the, along the whole route, actually. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And there's more and more businesses locating it over the Rhine, you know, that want loading zones. And the city has a couple different kinds of loading zones. Some of them had the green meters. You know, part of that is just going to be developed as we go along.
Howard was talking about this earlier. When you get down into the Central Business District controlling traffic, and I know when you did like the Liberty intersection, I believe with Walnut and Race for a weekend, you completely shut down those intersections to do that work. Is that how you maybe plan to do the intersections in the Central Business District, or can people expect, you know, at some point some of those intersections will be closed for maybe a week or two while the track goes through?
There are a couple places we have to close in over the Rhine, like when we build the Race Street Diamond on 12th. But central, when we cross Central Parkway, that'll be done partially at a time with plates on it. And, you know, you kind of come in from the north, come in from the south, and do it part at a time. Down into the Central Business District, we're still kind of working. Each street is going to be different about what we can do. We plan to minimize the full closures, though.
I think when they were working on the Elm Street section in front of Music Hall, I think maybe you told me that basically you could do about two blocks. You could finish two blocks in about a two-week time frame. Is that about right?
The ideal productivity is about three blocks in 3 weeks. That kind of, you get the excavation, the steel, the rails, and the concrete, kind of get their own week, essentially.
And you're still working to figure out, there was a pause in the project in December while council debated whether to continue with the project. I think the other day I heard you say you thought that you lost about 13 work days, but still now, a couple of months later, you're still trying to figure out how much that delay cost and what it did to the schedule. If it was only 13 days, why is it taking 2 months to figure out how much it cost and how much it pushed the schedule back?
A lot of people are asking that question. The reason is that we lost certain work crews, and it took them more than 13 days to come back. You know, they couldn't immediately return to the site. I think the problem we have with the structural steel for the maintenance and operating facility is pretty well known. That actually could be up to a two-month delay for that component. It's all about the critical path, though. It's how much each item that was delayed delays that critical path to getting something done. And some things we were able to keep going without a pause. Other things, despite our best efforts, you know, we asked the mayor if we could keep a couple things going, and he said fine. But despite our best efforts, a couple things like the traction power substations looks like they're going to have some delay.
Has this horrible winter weather impacted the work itself?
Somewhat. It's probably impacted Cincinnati Gas's work more so. And remember, Cincinnati Gas also has a major modernization program that's totally independent of streetcar. And those, all of those gas mains, they can't tie the services in if it's not above 50 degrees. So hopefully they're back out there right now.
And I think that's one of the other things you point out, you know, besides the streetcar system, this work is actually going to update the utilities in the Central Business District, correct?
Well, that plus the program that Duke had already in place to upgrade their electrical and their gas program. Waterworks had the same thing for their water mains. You know, there's kind of a continuous replacement. And Cincinnati is really catching up on that. They've, all the utilities have got pretty good programs.
Again, revenue passenger service is scheduled to begin in September 2016, but efforts to get people's attention and to draw them to the streetcar or marketing the idea are going to start well before that.
That's right. And in fact, at 3 o'clock today, I have to meet with the new sort of board chair, and we're going to discuss what, that'll be one of the things that we're going to discuss, how that'll be done.
Now, with the cars arriving you know, essentially a year and a half before you're going to start letting people pay to ride them, is it possible that, you know, while you're testing it, that maybe people can ride it, you know, as part of the marketing to say, okay, here it is, here's what it's going to be like, or do you, are you not allowed to have a passenger on it until it's ready to go?
That is a really good question, and one that hasn't been answered yet, but we'll let you know what we do know.
Who answers that question? I mean, how do
Federal Transit Administration, but we also have a safety consultant that's helped us develop our safety and security plan.
Mm-hmm. One thing somebody asked me, they said, you know, this runs on electric, so are people going to have to be careful that they don't step on the rail so they don't get electrocuted? And that was a serious question somebody asked me.
No, you don't, you don't have to worry about that. The juice is all overhead. You'd have to be 20 feet tall, basically, to get into trouble with that. That is addressed in the safety plan, though. I mean, that is a serious question because there'll be people out there trimming trees, fixing lights, you know, a number of things that will require getting near the envelope. And if you're more than, if you're closer than 10 foot from the wire that carries the electricity on the catenary, you have to shut the power down.
Before we run out of time, a couple things we do want to get to. You presented a map the other day of the number of vacant buildings in Over the Rhine. And,
right.
And the reason that you did that is because you're going to be meeting with businesses coming up later this month.
Correct. Yeah, we have our business outreach session scheduled for the end of March. And really hope there are a lot of people get even more excited about Over the Rhine than they already are and buy buildings and rehab them and set up new businesses and create new places to live.
And that's part of the draw. I mean, this is a transportation project, but there are also supporters who say this is a major economic development project, and that's one way that would happen to bring those old abandoned buildings back to life.
That's right. Two projects in one.
Talk to us about phase two. There's some talk that I guess a study's underway, and what's that? What are you trying to determine now?
Well, the main thing is how much is it going to cost, and will it work as far as the engineering goes? We know the streetcars can climb the hill. That's
and
not
we
an
should
issue.
Say phase two is to take the streetcar up Vine Street
to Cory,
to the uptown area.
Right, to the uptown area, Cory specifically.
And the price that you had on that is several years old, correct? So that's
why
you're trying to...
It's more than that, and it's by the same people that did our original estimate, which didn't turn out too well when we bid the project. So we want to refresh all that information, knowing what we know now.
And there is some deadline, what, in April, that for a chance to apply for some more federal grant money?
April 28th. It's called Tiger Grant Program. So we want to be ready for that and give City Council the option if they want to do it or not.
Have you started to reach out to organizations or businesses about advertising rights on the car, just like you'd see on the Metro buses?
Well, that's part of what we're going to talk about at 3 o'clock today. There was an early effort at that, but that has to be restarted.
And we should say SORTA or Metro's role in this is they will actually be responsible for the day-to-day operations of the streetcar once it's up and running.
That's correct.
What happens to your job after this project is complete? You're overseeing construction. Do you anticipate that you'll stay on or, you know, get the system running? If there is no phase two, then does it all fall into SORTA's hands?
When the former city manager interviewed me, he said, "Can you stick around for 5 years?" And I said, "Sure," because part of the key thing is getting the second phase built and then going beyond that.
What about that, and this is a policy question, but I think you've talked about this. Is the plan successful if the streetcar doesn't go up the hill to the uptown area? I think Mr. Dehoney was pretty clear that I think his term was, if you're just going to build the downtown loop, you ought not do it. And I think you don't necessarily agree with that.
No, I don't. It forms a very important role as a circulator. It allows people to live in Over the Rhine and not have a car or store their car somewhere remotely, you know, that it's not necessarily convenient, but they can use it on the weekends.
We have been talking about the Cincinnati streetcar plan and construction work with project manager John Dietrich. And again, you'll find links to additional information on the streetcar project on our website at WVXU.org. John, thanks for being here this afternoon.
It's great being here. Thanks to both of you.
And coming up after the break, we'll be discussing the future of the Cincinnati Northern Kentucky International Airport with its CEO and the likely new chairman of the Kenton County Airport Board. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU.